The National Council for the Training of Journalists. Side 2. All the passages dictated on this side of the tape are at 100 words a minute. There are 10 passages, each of 2 minutes duration. Passages 1 and 2 are entitled Chief Constable Speaks on Soccer Violence, and there will be an interval of 30 seconds between them. Passage 1. It seems a long time since we last found it necessary to call a press conference to report on trouble involving football matches. Many of us hoped that disorder and violence among fans was a thing of the past. Unfortunately, we have had to call you here today to tell you that this is not the case. The hooligans are alive and well and up to their old tricks. As you may be aware, there were serious outbreaks of fighting among groups of fans attending the match here yesterday. The first incident took place as much as 5 hours before the game, and there were still running battles in the streets last night, 4 hours after it had finished. 3 of my officers have been injured and have required hospital treatment. Fortunately, none of them has been detained in hospital. 28 arrests have been made, and you can expect court appearances later this morning and at a special sitting of the magistrates this afternoon. Of those arrested, most are visiting fans. There was considerable damage to property in the city centre, including broken shop windows and vandalism to cars. At least 3 cars were overturned and set on fire. Passage 2. I want to say something now about why this trouble took place. As I have said, we have had no real problems involving football matches for a long time. I would say the events of last night were the worst we have seen here for 6 years. The reason for this seems clear. For the first time in my experience, it was decided to arrange the kickoff of the match for 5 o'clock in the evening. This was done entirely to suit the wishes of the television company which was broadcasting the game. As a result, we had hundreds of visiting fans arriving in the city at lunchtime and drinking steadily through the afternoon. After the game, groups of fans of both teams drifted into the city centre and spent the rest of the evening drinking even more. Drink, as usual, was the cause of most of our problems. I must admit straight away that the police were informed 2 weeks ago of the kickoff time, and we made no objection. That was our mistake. We had no experience of early evening games and did not expect any problems. We will not make the same mistake again. Passages 3 and 4 are entitled Main Line Railway Service, with an interval of 30 seconds between them. Passage 3. The Main Line Railway Service to the south is very important to both business people and leisure travellers. I was very shocked to hear about the latest plans for the line. I hope that I can persuade the members of this council to support me in my campaign to bring about major changes to this line so that the service can be improved and its future secured. I think we need to look at the history of the railways in this country if we are to understand how our main line has come to be under threat. There have always been two rail links between the north and the south of the country, one running up each coast. The East Coast Line was no more important than the West Coast Line for nearly 100 years. Then along came electric trains. The track on the east was electrified much earlier than that in the west, and that is where the problems began. Trains on the West Coast Line were slower, and people who had to make long journeys down the country used the East Coast Line because it was fast and clean. Our rail line is now the poor relation. Passage 4. Now we have a rail tunnel under the English Channel, which has made journeys to France very much easier and faster than they have ever been. But as we have read in our local newspapers, there are no plans for a direct link from our part of the country to this European service. I urge this council to send a group of councillors and senior council officers to London and demand that the Minister of Transport gives us the rail service which we need. First of all, money must be spent on improving the track so that electric trains can run. Then the local train services must be improved so that travellers can feed into the main line. Finally, I would like a promise from the minister that the overnight sleeper trains are not taken out of service. I have a petition with me today which has been signed by 2,000 business people who agree with what I am saying. Many of them have to travel to London 2 or 3 times a month, and they find they waste a great deal of time travelling rather than working. I ask you to think seriously about taking action to help. Passages 5 and 6 are entitled Vacant Store to Become a Pub, and again there will be a 30-second interval between them. Passage 5. For some months now, we on the planning committee have been worried about the empty store which opens onto the town square. As you will remember, the site became vacant when the company moved into a smaller unit in the new shopping centre. Since then, we have seen possible tenants come and go. Some have said the site is too big. Others wanted only a very short lease, and one could not afford to make the alterations it would have needed. But at last, I believe we have found the ideal tenant and the ideal use for the site. The plan is to turn the site into a traditional pub. I know that some of you will say that the town is already well supplied with pubs and wine bars and other places serving alcohol, but there are a number of good reasons why this would be the perfect plan. First of all, I have to say that the company which has put forward this latest plan is a well-respected group which has operated a leading chain of pubs in this area for many years. It has wide experience and all its pubs are well-run and attractive. Passage 6. The proposal which has been put forward for our town centre is certainly impressive. The total cost of converting the site will be nearly £1.5 million, so no expense will be spared in turning what at the moment is an empty eyesore into a great asset. We already have pubs which offer live music, pool tables and such gimmicks. But here we are promised a place without any of these. It is just a plain, old-fashioned pub offering food and drink in pleasant surroundings. That will, I am sure, be welcomed by many people in the area. Another advantage is that the new pub is very close to the theatre and cinema and will be handy for people who want a drink and something to eat before or after the show. Lastly, there is the matter of jobs. We have a lot of unemployment in the town, and as well as providing plenty of building work when the conversion is being carried out, there will be other longer-term benefits. Once the pub is open, it will need 30 staff, some full-time and some part-time, and most of them will be recruited locally. Passages 7 and 8 are entitled Knife Men Raid Off License, with a 30-second interval between them. Passage 7. First of all, at today's press conference, I have to tell you about an armed robbery at the Off License in Green Lane. It happened last night at about 9:45, and I have to tell you that the manager of the shop was stabbed in the robbery. He was taken to St. Peter's Hospital, where he was treated for a wound in his chest. He is very lucky to be alive. The manager, Harry Jones, was alone in the shop when two men came in and asked for some beer. When Mr. Jones reached for the cans, one man pulled out a 12-inch carving knife and told him to open the till. Mr. Jones did as he was told, and the man walked round the counter and emptied the till. As he passed Mr. Jones on the way out, he slashed at him with the knife. The men escaped in a red Ford car. They stole £360 in cash, as well as some cartons of cigarettes and six bottles of whiskey, which they snatched from the shelves. Mr. Jones has been able to give us a good description of the two men involved. Passage 8. Both men were white and were in their early 20s. The man with the knife is described as 6 feet tall with short black hair and brown eyes. He spoke with a local accent and had a small tattoo on the back of his right hand. He was clean-shaven, but had dark 5 o'clock shadow. The other man was shorter, with long brown hair and a moustache. Both men wore jeans, trainers, and black polo shirts. Mr. Jones is, as I have already said, a lucky man. His injury was nasty, but not too serious, and he should be allowed home from hospital today. What concerns the police is that he was stabbed, even though he had done exactly what the robbers asked. There was no need for them to touch him, but they seemed to get some kind of kick out of hurting an unarmed and defenseless man. This is the second such raid, the other one having taken place over on the other side of the county last month. It is vital that we catch these two men before they strike again. No one has been seriously hurt yet. Next time, we may not be so lucky. Passages 9 and 10 are entitled Driver's Fears Over Car Park Crime, with an interval of 30 seconds between them. Passage 9. The Crime Prevention Panel has been concerned in recent months over the very high rate of crime in the town centre car parks, especially the multi-storey car park serving the new shopping centre. Now we have received a report from the subcommittee, which we set up to look into the whole problem. There has been a huge rise in the amount of car crime in the town. Cars are being broken into, stolen and damaged. But when we looked at the figures in more detail, we found that 80% of incidents were in the new multi-storey car park. Most of the problems have occurred on the top two floors, which the council has set aside for motorists who buy season tickets. 200 drivers pay nearly £600 for an all-year parking ticket, and what do they get for their money? Not just a place to park, but a parking area where they are four times more likely to have their car stolen or broken into. The problem is that the thieves and vandals know that the cars in the top two floors of the car park are left there all day unattended. Passage 10. Because there are no security patrols or even spy cameras in the car park, the thieves have all day to pick their targets. Twice last week, female office workers who left early went back to their cars and found people prowling round the top two floors of the car park. Very sensibly, they did not try to tackle the men, but called the police. Now the season ticket holders have got together and signed a petition asking the council to take action as quickly as possible. They put forward the following suggestions. Firstly, that the council abandoned the separate parking area and its long-term and short-term parkers use the spaces on a first-come, first-served basis. Then there will be people coming and going all day, which will make it much more difficult for the thieves. Secondly, they would like to see some security measures taken to make the car park safer. They suggest that there should be a regular patrol by security guards, or the council should install a closed circuit television system. The Crime Prevention Panel agrees that these measures would go a long way towards making the car park a very much safer place. That is the end of the dictation at 100 words a minute on side 2 of the tape.